Hey ladies, welcome to Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited that you're joining us on this podcast where we encourage women and inspire them to fully walk in everything that they've been called to do. We believe that each person has been created with a specific purpose, and it is up to us to walk in it, to discover what it is, and to allow it to fully manifest in our lives. And so each week we have conversations that allow us to evolve and grow and to fully understand and embrace the purpose called on our lives. And so ladies, without further ado, let us get started. Hey guys, I am happy to introduce our next guest. Tawana Habde has been in education for over 20 years. She has played some other phenomenal roles such as minister, youth leader. She has even been an enrichment teacher for young women. She continues to pour and sow into the community, especially the teenage community. And so to have her here to talk to us today about the topic of self-love, but more specifically about insecurities, was just completely heaven sent. She is such a great orator as far as allowing us to understand the information that she's giving forth, and then also supplying tangible, realistic things that you can do to move forward in this space. She is very transparent about how her dark skin was a point of shame for her, and the limiting beliefs that was associated with that throughout her life, and how she was able to overcome them and to change her mindset and to move forward and really embrace the person that she's been created to be. So guys, without further ado, help me welcome Tawana Habde.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode. I'm so excited about this season that I'm currently in, you guys. I am taking a break, a small break from the podcast. So for the month of May and June, I will be doing replays for the month of May. In June, I will actually be pulling out some old archives, some episodes that never got released, the Chronicles, right? And so it's really going to be a time for me to be able to refresh, realign, reconnect, and just prepare for the upcoming season. It's an awesome time of refreshing, and I hope that you're taking this time as well to regroup and to prepare yourself for what's to come and the things and the goals that you have planned. So this is a great opportunity to catch up on lost episodes and also to hear some of the things that didn't quite make it to be released. I suspect that they're probably going to be pretty funny. But, guys, I love y'all. I will be continuing to produce some great things for this upcoming season. And who knows, maybe I'll have a new reimage or something going on. We'll see what God does. But until then, enjoy these episodes, and I'll see you in the next season.
So welcome to Tisha Talks Topics. I am so excited. I always say this, but I am always excited about engaging in conversation with other women about things that we all deal with and we all at some point or another struggle with. And so I'm excited to have Tawana Habde as a guest today to share with us some of the issues that she's had surrounding insecurities. And so this month we are talking about developing her. And what developing her is us taking time to be intentional about pouring into ourselves, our own self-care, our own self-love, and just working on and developing those areas within us that that need to grow, and so that they can blossom and be all that they have been created and called to be. And so Tawana and I were talking, and we were having a great conversation about some of the things that we have had, that she has had to progress through or overcome as it concerns insecurities. And so welcome, Tawana Habde, to the show.
Hey, how's everybody?
We are, I am glad to dive into this topic because you just have, first of all, you're a teacher. I read your bio before the podcast started, so everyone kind of has that background about you, but you're such a great educator. And so the way that you talk about things is so simple, yet it resonates and it brings forth such clarity and understanding. And so I know that this is an area that people, not just women, but people in general struggle with. And I just love the flair and the take that you have on that. So I'm going to stop talking and allow you to just kind of, I guess, share your story, share your journey, and the things that you've learned as far as overcoming insecurities are concerned.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It is really a privilege to be able to share my story because it was just something that, being my in a lot of my insecurities were a part of, I call them, things that I would throw in my backpack, things that were just a part of me. And I just accepted that was just who I was. And so I had to learn how to break out of a lot of the old thinking and how to break free from those insecurities because those things weren't who I was. So, I'm glad to be able to share my story so that somebody else can be able to break free of these things that are a part of them. Just like, my glasses are a part of me. Anybody see me, you're gonna see Tawana with some glasses on. Some of us, we wear our insecurities on us and we make it look comfortable. And then a lot of times we take the insecurities and make it look good on us. And so, we wanna, I've definitely, have had to learn how to peel some things away so that I can really get to the really true root of who I was. And it didn't involve my insecurities. And now I'm able to, be freer, be able to really be who I'm called to be. Now that I'm able to, chuck a lot of insecurities. So,
So cool. You said a lot of, I think, key things about how some people wear their insecurities and they
yeah.
make it look good. Can you talk to us about that? Like, what were you wearing and how was you, or did that apply to you? How were you making it look good?
You make accommodations for it. I don't know if it looks good, but you make accommodations for it where you're comfortable with it, where it's a part of you. And so now you make it fit your uniform, you make it fit your outfit of who you are. And so that's in a way of making it look good. So I think one of the things that, I struggled with was I just did not have a really good view of myself. And I was shy because of that. Like it was really difficult for me to look people in the eye. It was difficult for me to do good things and receive credit for it. It was hard for me to get any feedback, positive feedback or praise, because I just felt so bad about myself. So one of the attributes that I would take on as being as a part of who I was is that I was shy. And I would just say, I'm shy. I'm shy. And now that I know who I am, really, no, I'm not shy. I'm not really shy at
Not at
all.
all.
No, not really. Not really, but that was something that I was using as a mask to cover up the fact that I just felt so bad about myself and why I couldn't look you in the eye, or why it was hard to start conversations, or why it was hard for me to present myself in positive lights because I was shy, quote unquote shy. And so I made shyness a part of my personality when it really wasn't who I was.
Isn't that crazy? So you took ownership or you own something else that was never meant to be an attribute to
Right.
you
Right.
to hide something that you were insecure about.
Right. Right.
Wow.
And really, the insecurity really was in my, I had many insecurities. Well, the biggest one was my physical appearance. Just who I was physically. I didn't necessarily struggle with, I knew I was a nice person. I knew I was a nice person. But I really struggled with the the physical attributes of myself. Like, you know, growing up in the 90s, if you are a 90 child, you can see those 90 videos. It was just all about, you know, you had to be light skinned and you had to be long, you had to have long hair, and you had to have the symmetric bob, and you had to have the cross colors. And so let me tell you what I didn't have. I didn't have that light skin. And nor did I have support to support me in who I was. So I didn't have any affirmations coming from home. And then I didn't have any affirmations coming from, you know, out in the street. A lot of literature didn't support, you know, that brown skin. You know, you didn't see too many of us on television. I'm gonna tell you when I really noticed a really brown skinned person on TV was the mother from Fresh Prince. That was just like, wow, it took me back, because you usually don't see really brown, chocolatey brown women on TV back then. And A Different World, Kimberly Reese. And she was like this really beautiful brown chocolatey girl. And I'm like, you know, those were anomalies. You know, you didn't see that. So I didn't have you don't have a lot of support coming from media. I didn't have support coming from home. You know how we tell our children, oh, you're my beautiful baby. You know, I didn't get that from home, and I don't blame my parents. It's just, you know, sometimes when you're broken, it's hard to pour into others when you're broken. So I think that's my parents' situation. But yeah, so I didn't have any affirmation coming from anywhere. And then when my hair has always been short. It's longer than this. I purposely keep it this short, but my hair has always been short. And so, you know, I never had the hair thing. And then I grew up really kind of, you know, impoverished. So I was not the girl with the cool. I was not the cool kid. I did not get my hair, you know, with the little asymmetric, with the little crimps and all of the stuff in the 90s. And, you know, with the colors and all that stuff, I just did not, I could not, because I couldn't afford it. So I didn't have the look physically. And then I couldn't even create the look from aesthetics outside of myself. So it was crazy. It was crazy where you're not getting any positive affirmation from outside. It's, you know, you can't pour from an empty vessel. And so that was definitely my physical appearance was it was a barrier to overcome.
So I know when we were talking about it, we went a little bit deeper into what your thought process was like, because we were talking about, I think you gave the example of the time you were on a train and someone was trying to, I guess, affirm you or kick it to you or talk to you, and you had taken, I guess, that insecurity, like wearing it, like it was a part of you, and you were like, so sure that he was wrong. Like, who are you talking to? You can't possibly be talking to me. And so I think that piece is kind of interesting. And if you could explain that a little bit more, like how insecurities play in your minds and how they can also be a paralytic. Is that the word? Did I say it right?
No, but it's okay. I got you.
How it can, you know, paralyze you, yeah. In different areas of your life. And so can you share that a little bit?
So, you know, sometimes no action has just as of a negative effect as an action. And so, you know, not being affirmed plays a negative part because it creates voids of information in your brain. So when you're not getting the proper information put in, you know, then you are left open. You have no foundation for how to think about yourself, because you haven't been told how to think about yourself. You have been shown. So I didn't have a tool set. So my thoughts about myself was only from what other people said about me, other people outside of my familial structure said about me. What they said about me that is what I was, those are my building blocks that shaped my thinking. And one of the things we know about words, again, lack of words, it doesn't create, it creates a void, but also negative words, period, creates, you know, it builds your brain. It creates neurons for you to think a certain way. So the way you think and what the words that you hear create how you think. And so again, I had the void of not having that at home life where people were pouring into me, showing me how to think, but then I was left to outside and what everyone outside was saying about me. And that was the building block of how I thought. Those were the only thing that I had to go on. And so it really is, it's biological when you think about it, because the words that we speak can change the DNA in your brain. And so the word of God is very true when he says the word is, you know, the word can change things. It can physically, I mean, scientifically, not even talking religiously or spiritually, biologically, words can change and alter your thought patterns, and it can, you know, affect how you carry out yourself. So having voice and then having negative comments constantly, because again, I was too black, you know, in elementary school, I was the little black ant, I was a black bean, I was blacky, I was ashy, anything you can probably think of when you think of a dark-skinned girl. I used to get called that, black skillet pot, you know. So that was just automatically connected to that you were ugly.
Mm-hmm.
All that I had growing up. So I, you know, and back in the day, we used to be outside all day. You know, this
till them street, till them street lights came on.
The street lights came on. So you were outside from like 9 a.m. to like 9 p.m. and you were with other people, and other people's thoughts of you all day is what your foundation is. And I don't have anything else at home that's counteracting that. So, you know, just growing up and constantly being told that, you know, pretty much my dark skin was unattractive in many, 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 many different ways, you know. And so that's the foundation that I had.
Mm-hmm.
That's the foundation that I had. I didn't have, again, I didn't have these other outlets. I didn't have those who loved me. I didn't have anybody else telling me anything different. So that's all I had. So as I began to grow up and, you become more mature or whatever, and you learn how to style yourself and, you know, fashion yourself. You know, I was cute. But it was hard to believe it. I was just trying to make myself look the best that I could. And I think I shared with you before is that in high school, I never wore jeans. I never wore jeans. I always wore dresses or skirts with stockings and shoes. That's how I rolled in high school. And looking back in retrospect, it's like, wow, Tawana, why did you dress that way? Because, you know, I did used to go to church. And so going to church was a way to dress up. That's the only time of the week, really, that you would dress up. And that's when I felt like I looked my best, is when I was going to church. So I made that going to church look a look. It was my look.
Girl, we thought you was trying to have business, okay? We was like, Tawana is always ready, okay? She ready to be up in somebody's office.
I wish that was on my mind. I sure do. I wish that I was thinking that. But what I was thinking was Sunday best. Mm-hmm. This is the best that I know how to look. And so I'm going to create this look every day, because this is the only way I'm going to actually feel good about myself. I'm not cute enough to wear jeans and sneakers. I got to play it up. I got to make myself. I wore red. I had my little lipstick. I was church ready every day. I was church ready every day. And not because it was comfortable, but because that was just, I was just trying to make myself look the best that I could, because I had nothing else to go on. And so, you know, when I started to get older, that's kind of how I dress. And so I presented myself well. I presented myself well because I felt like I had to. I had to go the extra mile because I was not cute like these other girls. And so when guys started to look and take an interest, they would say things like, oh, you cute to be dark. So I was happy to get the compliment because it came very few and far in between. But it was still an insult.
Mm-hmm.
It was still, you know, backhanded compliments. It was still like, you find me cute, but you still wouldn't talk to me because I'm too dark. And so really, so at the end of the day, really, you still find me unattractive. Something's still wrong with me.
Right, right.
So there was a guy on a, I was coming from school or to school, college. And he looked young guy. He was about my age. And then we were sitting across from each other and we were on our way to Penn Station. And I had seen him on the bus before. And he was across from me and he said, excuse me, you're very pretty. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And he looked like, what?
He's like, what?
And he said, did you hear what I said to you? I said, oh, wait, what? Okay, so what did you say to me? He said, I said you were very pretty. I said, oh, thank you. And so I felt terrible because, first of all, he was cute. Okay, let's be clear. The Latino young man. And, he was attractive, but I felt like, dang, I just ruined that. Like, I can't even clean this. How do you even try to rejoin this conversation? Like, my insecurities had just completely eclipsed. Like, I didn't even hear the compliment. And when he spoke to me, I knew he was saying something to me about me, but my brain was just automatically programmed to say that this young man is saying something negative to me. And that was one of the days that I kind of had an eye-opening moment, like, all right, some things have to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not seeing myself right. And I'm ruining opportunities, you know, that I could, you know, not that guys were opportunity, but, you know, I'm not, that just wasn't an attractive moment at that moment. So, like, I knew that that was just like,
you know, that your thinking was wrong. Something was off.
It completely ruined an opportunity for me. And so I knew that, all right, I have to change. Something has to change because I am not viewing myself correctly. But, you know, I just didn't know how at the moment.
So can we talk a little bit about how you said that you knew you were cute, but it was hard to believe. Like, can we talk a little bit about how that plays in your thinking process? You know what I mean? Like, you know something, but like, what kind of conversations would you be having with yourself?
Oh, man. The one thing you shouldn't do, which is what I did, and I know that other people do, is that you super compare yourself to everybody else. You super compare yourself. It's almost like you have this invisible ruler and you know where you fit on the ruler. And when you see other people or other women that's in your category, you put yourself and you put them on a ruler. So I remember I would be on the bus and girls would get on the bus. And in my head, I am having this conversation. Now, these girls are minding their own business. They ain't even thinking about me. They don't even know I'm there. But every girl that get on that bus that's about in my age bracket, I'm like, I look better than her. Oh, she looks better than me. Oh, but I look better than her. All right, she look better than me, but she's bigger than me. Like, it is this whole mental play out that I'm having about other people in comparing them to me. That was crazy because it was like bondage. I couldn't break out of that. Like, I couldn't see people for who they were. I just only saw them as it compared to me, you know? And then it was hard to get to know other people because if I put you on my ruler and you're above me in that ruler, then it's going to be hard for me to get to know you and talk to you because I think that now I don't belong with you because you're above me on this ruler. But it worked the other way too, where people that I thought I might have looked better than. And again, it's purely physical. It's not people's characteristics. Mm-hmm. It is all physical. Then I feel like, you know, I could hang with you because you at where I am or below.
Mm.
It's just structured how I moved. It's just, it was the foundation of how I moved. And it was a lot of bondage and a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And tears, because it's hard to accept what you cannot change. It's hard to accept what you cannot change. And, you know, there would be days where I would, you know, I would sit in the mirror. I know, no, I wouldn't sit in the mirror. If I had to do something, like do my hair, I would sometimes do it as quick as I could without looking at myself. Or if I had to brush my teeth, I would do it as quick as I could or away from the mirror. Like, there were days I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. Or there will be days where I would do my hair, and if there was one piece out of where it needed to be, I would just have a whole breakdown, because then that means I don't look my best and I can't leave out the house because this one little piece. See, now, you know, this stuff is... Or we would throw some curls and it ain't not if it work, make it do what it do. And I'm okay with the little messy look now. But before, everything had to be like pow, in place, perfect, or I can't leave the house. It was debilitating and it was crippling.
Which is what is so crazy about that is that on your end, it was debilitating and crippling to you. But on our end, we was like, yo, Tawana is put together. Her stuff is cut right. Every move is, you know, right where it's supposed to be. So it's so crazy that the perception you have of yourself is completely different than the perception that those around you have of you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I knew that people saw or thought that I carried myself well, which is why I could never let that look down. You know, I'm going to tell you, the first time I wore jeans in high school was like almost one of the last days of school in senior year, and I had on a jumper, and I had on a pair of white sneakers. And when I came to school, everybody almost fell over because it was like, oh my gosh, she got on a pair of jeans. And I was cute. I had little one
down. You was doing that. What is it? TLC.
You know, but that was because I felt like I had money. Because remember, I didn't have money to be able to dress how everybody else was dressing. But by that time, I was seeing. Yeah, I was working at A&P. I had my own little money, so I had, you know, a little money to go get myself something that I thought would make me fit in. You know, it was. In retrospect, I feel like I wasted a lot of years in bondage mentally. And even on a spiritual note, you know, that is what, you know, the goal of the enemy is to do, is to lock your brain into thinking a certain kind of way, because your brain's your thought pattern controls everything that you do. That's why everything is mindset. In order for you to be successful at anything, you gotta get your mindset together. And I was bound up mentally. So it was only but so far that I was gonna be able to go and do anything with my life, because I couldn't even think outside of my own thoughts, you know, about being incompetent and being, you know, insecure about every little thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So did you know that you were in bondage at the time? Like, when you were having those thoughts and you were questioning and comparing, were you aware that mm-hmm. this?
I knew it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it wasn't normal. I don't know if to say not normal, but I know that it wasn't the way I should be thinking. You know, I just didn't have, another go-to. I just didn't have another go-to at that point. But I knew that I shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't see other people that way, and I shouldn't see myself that way, but I just couldn't help it at the time. I couldn't help it. I didn't have any other tools at that time to assist me in how to view myself. So comparison was the tool.
Mm-hmm.
It was very damaging. That is a cycle that you will never get out of. Like, it's crazy, because somebody's going to always have something better than you. Always. Always have something better and have something worse. And so it's a terrible cycle. So yeah, I did know. I knew I didn't really have words to verbalize, but I knew that this was not proper thinking.
Mm-hmm. So what happened? Where did the break come? How were you able to come out of the cycle?
Well, I'm gonna, you know, explicitly say that it really was through my relationship with God is the thing that completely changed my mindset around, and nothing else. You know, and I can say that, you know, on everything. There was nothing else that I had. It's only because of my relationship with the Lord. So, you know, I became a born-again Christian in my teenage years. And so, you know, I really did my best to, you know, we do our best, child. We do our best to walk the Lord. But I really was having some really tender moments with God in my teenage years. I was having some really tender moments with Him, and He would show up for me, which let me know that, wow, God is really real and He hears me. Even if I'm not praying in a traditional manner where I'm on my knees and my hands are clasped together, but I would just say things and He would show up for me in that way. And so another one of my insecurities were, I really wasn't, you know, I'm an educator now, but that's what I think what drove me to be an educator is that I really was not a great student. I really wasn't a great student.
What? The way you be on these kids.
Yeah, but I'm on them because no one was on me.
No one
pushed me and poured into me academically, and I suffered. So I really, you know, I was in the low classes in high school. I wasn't a part of any extracurricular activities growing up. You know, people are in dance or in sports or even in the choir at church. I was in none of those things. And so in sports, I wasn't in any extracurricular activities. I wasn't in anything that built me up as a kid. So now I really think about it. You're not getting verbal affirmation, and then you're not even getting, you know, that physical affirmation from clubs and coaches and just the self, that inward reward that you can give yourself that can build up your self-esteem. I have none of that. So really, you're talking about a void.
Mm-hmm.
It's important not to leave things that are supposed to be filled. It's important to fill it, or something else is going to come and fill it. And so I just had a void. I had a void all the way around. And another one of my insecurities were, I didn't have a talent. You know, I felt like I moved from Newark to South Orange, and now I'm in this place where in Newark, we didn't have a lot of extracurricular activities outside of summer camp at the Boys and Girls Club. So there, you know, all of us was just outside playing. But then when I was, we just all dirt bombs, you know.
Yes.
Playing. But when I moved to South Orange, then now my peers are in piano. They play lacrosse. They play basketball. They run track. They have all of these different things in which they're doing with their lives. And I wasn't doing any of those things. So now I had another, not just was I dealing with my physical, I have this insecurity of, I just feel like I have no talents. And so again, back to my relationship with the Lord. So, you know, just walking with the Lord and being, you know, with when I was younger, and I said that out loud, like, Lord, I feel like I don't have no talents. I was the kid coming straight home after school. I was home by 3:05. I couldn't hang out with my friends because they were in chess. They were in all of these other after school activities. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And so I remember, you know, saying that. And then I remember coming home one day and writing this really beautiful poem that I've never written poetry before. And, you know, God started to show me what was in me. And so it started off with poetry, and then it started with like crafting, and then it started with like writing. And so, but those things didn't come out until I began to engage God about those things. Now they had always been there, but it was God who was affirming me. He was affirming. Mm. So the turning point for me is coming from that place of mental bondage was really just being in relationship with God. It was just walking and talking with him. And he began to kind of unpeel the layers of insecurity off me, where I can see some of the beauty that I had within myself that I would never have seen and didn't have anybody in my life to show me. I would say that walk with him, and in a sincere walk. It was a sincere walk because, you know, I wasn't at the point where I was attaching my relationship with God to, you know, church activities or, you know, we like to say, well, I know God because I do this, and I know God because I can sing in a choir or I preach the word. It really was just a really walk with him and talking with him, and he would respond to me when I would speak to him. And I'm like, oh snap, you actually heard me, which encouraged me to talk to him even more.
Mm-hmm.
We would just talk, and he would show me that he heard my heart, even on some of the things that I didn't even say out of my mouth, but was a part of my heart. So I would definitely say it was definitely the beginning of the breaking of my, that mental bondage was my relationship with
mm-hmm. It sounds like your relationship with God helped you begin to love yourself, like love on yourself, even with him, like identifying, like, you're good at this and you're good at this. It began to, like, you know, I guess, show you that it, I guess it's like almost like his way of saying, like, I love you, Tawana, and these are the gifts and the things that I've given to you. I want you to love those things too.
Yeah.
You know, type.
And even to show me, it was just such a, like that walk that I had with the Lord as a young teenager was really something beautiful, because it was him knowing how I felt about myself. He knows, like, God knows us. He knows our anxieties. He knows our insecurities, our fears. And he deals with us about those things. Now, he could just leave them there. You know what I'm saying? And we could, you know, receive salvation and just move on with those things. But really, when he says that I've come, that you have life and have it more abundantly. So you're not just coming so that you would be saved from your sins, but that you will also be able to live this life in abundance. And there is no way that you can experience life in abundance if you are mentally bound up. There is no way. You won't even be able to see it because your vision is blurred so much, you won't be able to see it. So your God began to show me who I was and some of the things that was in me. And it was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful.
I remember as a teenager having some of my most, I think you used the word tender. Did you use the word tender?
Yeah.
Tender moments with the Lord as a teenager. And I don't know if it's because maybe we're dispositioned a little bit different. We haven't, you know, had to deal with so much or gain more knowledge and feel like we know so many other things. But definitely, like, I remember, like, straight up conversations. I remember, like, asking questions and you, him just responding or imprinting things on my heart. And so I can completely relate to that. But what I would ask you is, for someone who is dealing with some sort of insecurities, what do you think, or what would you advise to them as maybe like a practical one or two steps? Or even, because, you know, there's some people, right? Let's say we're talking from a Christian perspective, there are some people that know God, acknowledge God, you know? If you tell them they don't have a relationship with the Lord, they, you know, they would disagree, but they still struggle with insecurity. So what would you say to that individual?
Knowing what I know now, right? And so, because now I'm a little bit more, you know, mature, and there are some tools that God has given us, right? There are some tools. And so I heard something from a conference, and someone said that there's a difference between self-esteem and self-worth. And self-esteem is just how you feel about yourself, feeling elated about yourself at the moment. So if you're looking good that day, you have really good self-esteem. If you're not feeling good tomorrow about yourself, you have no self-esteem. So self-esteem is something that just kind of rides on how you're feeling that day. But then the speaker spoke about self-worth. And self-worth is who you are attaching, what you're attaching to yourself that brings your self-worth. And so that's a really good question, I think, that someone may want to ask themselves. What is it in you? Where do you find your worth? Where do you find, what makes you awesome? What makes you great? Even if you're having a bad hair day, even if you ain't take a shower all week, what is the thing that makes you great? What is the thing that makes you worthy? And if there's not a question for that, then that is a place where there needs to be a question. That question needs to be answered there. Because if we do not have the thing that we look to make us worthy, then we are just left to the wolves of the world to be able to dictate to us what is going to be. But we have to find that, where our self-worth, where do we hang our identity on? What do I hang my identity on? Some people hang their identity on their family name, right? There are some cultures that have a lot of dignity in their name. The name carries weight. You know, I'm a McDonald or I'm a Murphy. And depending on your family history, that's, you feel good about yourself because you are a part of that tribe. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or there's something that you got to hang your worth on. And so I will ask you, where do you hang your worth? Where is it that regardless of what you're looking like or feeling like, you know that you are still this really dope individual, even though you're not feeling great today? Where does your identity lie? So identity is really number one. What do you connect to? What do you connect with? You know, that's my unscripture answer, because there are some people who have a very good self-worth that do not walk with God, but they have hung themselves on the fact that their identity is in their money, you know, that their family's wealthy. Or there are some people that hang their self-worth on that their family is beautiful. They, you know, this physical attractiveness is something that they have. You know, everybody hangs their identity on something. And I felt like before my relationship, I didn't have anything that I was hanging my relationship, myself on. You know, my family, you know, they were just simply doing the best they can, but, you know, having family pride wasn't really anything that we were super into. I wasn't a good student. I didn't have money. as far as that 90 beauty standard, I wasn't pretty. You know, just, I didn't have anywhere to hang my identity on to say that this is the thing that I can say that brings me worth. And I wasn't talented, I didn't feel like, at that time. Like, I had nothing. That was crazy. Like,
well, you actually, but you ended up with the best thing, because even if you hang your identity on money, on your last name, on how you're looking, or even your capabilities, like how smart you are, all of those things can change, right? So
absolutely.
The thing that maintains who you are, I think, the thing that is steady is attaching your self-worth to who God says you are, you know?
Absolutely. Someone is greater than you, right? Mm-hmm. Someone that is greater than you. And so my tools would be to say, who made you, you know? When you think about yourself, you know, who created you? And that's what kind of led me to, okay, well, God, because I, you know, you hear it that God, you know, created me. Then God, why would you make me this way? And so these are these questions that I would have with the Lord, and he will walk you through these things and your purpose and why did I create you? So I have a couple of scriptures that completely has altered how I feel about myself. And one of those scriptures were, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I had to really sit and, you know, meditate on that. Okay, Lord, so I don't love myself. I'm struggling with me. But you said that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that, one, that you made me. So I'm not an accident. You made me, you fearfully, which means like with terror, not to be afraid, but like, because we are so magnificently made, it is just like with awe, but such a respectful awe. That's what that fearful means. Like, I'm not, like, I'm so in awe of this, I'm gonna have respect for it. Fearfully and wonderfully made, full of wonders. And if you really take time to look at the human body, oh my gosh, like, this whole system, the many systems that we have running through our bodies that cause, that sustain us from day to day, it really is amazing. It really is something to see that's like, yo, this is a wonderful work. You know, the way we cut ourselves and your skin will heal itself. You know, the way your nervous system completely runs messages up inside, up and down through your body to tell you what's going on with your body. And I mean, our respiratory system, I mean, how oxygen comes in one way, but carbon, you know, dioxide comes out the other. Like,
right.
We got a mass system.
That did not just formulate itself. What did they say in the ocean?
Wow, some old Big Bang Theory. I cannot get that. how dope the human body is all by itself is not something that was made haphazardly. Like, it was finally created. So you are fearfully and wonderfully created. And I had to really sit with that. And then, you know what? I just had to believe it.
I was going to say that. I said, because you can hear the word, right, you know, of God, and God can tell you, I love this about you, I love this about you, but you have to make a choice to believe that that is the case.
But that also comes from the trustworthiness of who he's been to me earlier. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my little teenage years, I was you know, God and I had this really beautiful relationship where he really revealed himself to me as someone who was true and real, even though I could not see you. So now, you know, it's kind of like you kind of wind and dine me through the, you know, experiences of him. But then now when it came down to getting acquainted with, now I got to believe what you say. These are the words in his Bible that you're saying to me. How can I believe that? Because now I still don't feel it. Just because I'm having a relationship with the Lord doesn't mean that I'm still not struggling with some of these insecurities. I am in a full relationship with God. I love God. He loves me. I've, you know, repented of my sins. I'm trying to get my life, but I'm still struggling with how to see me. How do you go from the point where I can get through some of these insecurities, even though I have a relationship with the Lord? It is just simply making a decision that if you made me, I'm now going to see life the way through your eyes. Mm-hmm. Because your ways are higher than my ways. And you're, you know, you're greater than me. And so I believe you. Really. Really. Mm-hmm, it really mm-hmm. is so simple. I'm going to believe you. That's really what this whole salvation thing is that I'm going to believe just what you say. I'm going to believe it. And then it's not just blind belief, but God backs it up because his word is everything. The whole world is being held together by his word. So his word, God is going to honor his word. So he's going to show you that his word is real, but you have to first accept it as, all right, I'm going to believe it. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. I can see that. I see how our body is. The systems of our body is so dope. Who can recreate that? Mm-hmm. I'm full of wonders. I'm going to believe. I'm just going to believe it. And it just can't be really no negotiation about it. Mm-hmm. But I believe that God has, he loves on us in such a way where it's hard to, you have to really be purposely running away from him. Not to want to believe him, because he's such a you know, like when you think about dating and stuff, and you know how, you know, you're engaging with someone and you're spending time and they're putting forth their best self. God does that all the time. He does that all the time. So he is engaging us. His goodness is always there. His mercy is always there. He's always providing. He's always blessing. And he gives us eyes to see. So now when it comes to this word, why don't you believe me? It's almost an insult. So it's just really just a matter of us making a decision that I'm going to believe you. You made me. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm great. All right, Lord, I'm going to rock with that. And initially you may be struggling with that, but it is a renewing of the mind. You are purposely mm-hmm. renewing your mind. You have to purposely, but I can't tell you that it's a magic trick just because you fell in love with the Lord and he's in love with you, that you instantly escape your insecurities. It's a work mm-hmm. because remember the years that I've told you, the years of void and the years of negativity poured into me took many years. To undo. It took many years to undo. So it was a work. It was a work, but it did just start by me just believing what he said.
So can we talk a little bit about, so we know that there was a bondage, there was a mindset that, there was a void that wasn't filled, and the words of other people kind of fill that void. And then it became like a place of bondage and putting you in a paralyzed state in certain ways. And then a revelation of God's love for you and what he says about you. And then a process of believing it and speaking it and trusting that this is it. And telling yourself that over and over until you get to the place where you're married to it, right? So
it is a work. That's what I don't want people to escape. It is a work to remove insecurity.
Yeah, so you were saying?
What I was saying was I had to choose to end this relationship with God. I was having to make a choice to, I was still struggling with my insecurities. I know what I was feeling about myself wasn't what lining up with who God said I should be. I'm not having the same behavior patterns that I'm supposed to have. I'm struggling with, my insecurities, but I know that I'm not supposed to. And so the word of God was the tool that I used to be able to break free from my insecurities. And so I had mentioned before, one of the scriptures that really caught my eye about me was, he says in Psalms 139, 41, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I told you I took time and I studied what that meant. I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, all right, Lord, only the way we are made, only you can do that. And so I'm going to believe it. Not because it sounds fairy tale-ish, but it really is true. So it's not like just believe anything anybody tell you, believe something that is just because I told you so. No, God will tell you something and then will give you evidence to stand on. Because he's not going to have us out here looking or sounding crazy. So I'm going to tell you something and I want you to believe it and I'm going to back you up on it. So to say that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, anybody who studied biology, that's a no-brainer. Okay, God, that's easy to believe. There's another scripture in Psalms 19:73 that says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Now, I laughed at that scripture because, okay, it says your hands made me. That sounds like the other scripture, okay, which means that I was not just haphazardly made between my mother and father, but Lord, your hand was on me in my mother's womb. Okay, cool. But the thing that made me laugh was it says, and you have fashioned me. And so it's like, when you think about fashion, you think about what? Like, clothes, right? You think about clothes, like to me, like styling of clothes. And so if you're saying that you fashioned me, that means that the way you put me together, you did that on purpose.
Right.
So you mean like I am supposed to look this way, and this is the way that you have put me together, the same way you would put an outfit together, and that outfit would be fierce. You have put me together. You fashioned me. You didn't just make me like into this a lump of clay that's shaped like a human. Lord, you are involved in all of my little details. You fashioned me. You put me together. You gave me this skin. You gave me this hair. You gave me my height. You gave me these eyes. You gave me these lips. Like you put me together. And so it was those kind of things that gave me. That took away a lot of the insecurities of how I felt about myself and what other people were saying about me. And I began to believe what God said about me. And again, it was a work because I had to keep saying it and I had to keep believing it because I'm still coming up against people that I'm running into that are letting me know that I really wouldn't fit in. I couldn't fit. If I was a sorority girl, there's some sororities I couldn't get into because I don't fit the bill. Running up against those things even in college and still running into the guys that are like, hey, you're cute to be dark, those kind of things. And so I had to just really make what God said about me a part of what I was saying about me. And because of me using his words, God's word is alive, it is quick and it is powerful. And those things changes your mind. It's called renewing of the mind. You really have to renew your mind. And it's a work. And it says, don't be transformed, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get to be a new person in your mind? How do you get to be, how do you get to think differently? Is you have to renew your mind. And yo, if I could be honest, it's a work. It's a work that you have to do. You have to speak these words over yourself. What does God say about me? All right, this is true. because he's been true, even if I don't feel it. So I'm going to make his words my words. And that is, there are things that are happening spiritually, and there are things that are happening physically in your mind. When it says be renewed be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that is physical. Like the way that the nerve, our brain cells responds to vocal. It responds to voices. And so the voices that you speak help shape your thoughts. That's why you have to be very careful about what you say to your children, right? Even when they're babies, mm-hmm. and as they grow, because what you say is physically, biologically shaping their thoughts and how their brain neurons are connecting. And the way that they are connecting is the way that they want to think, because that's just the way that the neuron is going, because that's how it's been formed. So if it's been formed on a negative circuit because of negative words, that's going to be how that child thinks, because that's the networking that was created in their brain. But it's also something that happens spiritually. Mm-hmm. That happens. There's a battle for you in the spirit. And that battle, you know, the negative thoughts, they cannot stand up to the power of God. So you got two things working on your behalf. You have the physical renewing of your mind, and you have the spiritual renewing of your mind. So it is possible, I'm telling you, it's possible to be able to be free of the things, your insecurities, by the tools that God has given us. So
yes,
that's what definitely what I would.
So tell us really quickly, before I know you got to go, how has life been different for you since you've chosen to believe, since you've spoken those words over your minds, and that biological transformation has happened and that spiritual transformation has happened? How have you been able to walk a new way? I feel like I'm answering a question for you, but how how has that been different for you?
Oh my goodness. So again, there's freedom. There is freedom that I have to be able to move about and be able to do some of the things that I would have never thought I would have been able to do, because I was, you know, locked up in my mind. But it's the amount of freedom that I have. If I want to go try something new that I'm not sure if I know how to do, I'm going to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sure, let's give it a try. You know, instead of saying, these people will never accept me, I don't fit in here, I'm not going to, nah, those are old thoughts. The new thoughts are, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm going to try to enter into this new forum, or I know that I am somebody great according to God's word. So I can show up in these spaces that I probably thought I would never be in. I can go and speak in front of a crowd of intellects, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so that gives me confidence to undo the fake shyness that I used to have, or Joyce Myers calls it false humility. It gives me an unmeasurable amount of freedom and liberty to be able to live life to the fullest, and whatever I can ask or think of, I can go and do that thing. And so, yeah, I still physically look the same. I'm still this little chocolate girl with short hair, and, you know, and probably got a little more issues now that I'm older. I got a couple pounds more, you know, so physical could still be an issue if I let it be an issue.
Right.
Really, right. Could be an issue. Because we're always dealing with something in our natural. But, you know, I feel so dope about myself just because I know that my self-worth hangs on who he says I am. And so, again, whether this hair is fly today, whether that, you know, this lipstick is on, I am still fearfully and wonderfully made, because my identity is tied into him. And so he says, I'm great, so I'm great. And I don't have to dress nice to be great. I don't have to win awards. I don't have to run races. I can just be me, just me being. I don't have to cook for everybody. I don't have to do all of these things. I don't have to do anything to win anybody's approval. I'm already dope because he already said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Like, that's just it. So my identity hangs on what he says about me. And so that would definitely be my advice, is that whatever insecurities you are struggling with, you understand that your Heavenly Father loves you. You take on what he said about you and begin to implement those things. And I guarantee you, those things are going to break off. Those things are going to break off, and you are going to be able to experience a level of liberty in your life. And you're going to be able to do things that you never thought you'd be doing. Like, first of all, even talking about this on a podcast.
Thank you.
Like, I always played myself as a background person. I am a background person. I will support you. I will hold the camera. I will mop the floors. I will cook the food. I will do whatever background. But God quickly let me know, no, babe, that's not the only thing I have for you. I'm going to be calling you to come up front, and I'm going to need people to see you, and I'm going to need people to hear you. I would never have been able to put my face on a camera and talk to people, or, you know, selfies, or even think that I had a message for people if it wasn't because of my identity hanging on the fact of who I am in him. So that's what I would definitely say to you guys. Get into this word and find out what God says about you, because his word is true. God does not lie. Even so much so an unbeliever can apply these principles, and they will still work for the unbeliever, because these are principles that God says are going to work regardless of who uses them. Now, the unbeliever is going to miss out because they're not going to have a relationship with God. But that's why you have people who have like positive talk and meditation. If I meditate on positive words, it's going to help me be successful. And they are successful. Why? Because that's the way our brain is formed. If I re-transfer my thoughts, I can change the way my mind thinks because of words. God did that. So that works for the unbeliever. Now, the unbeliever, again, miss out because they don't have the relationship with God, and there's a salvation issue that they're going to have to deal with, but the principle still works. So God's word works. It's a manual that works, and it cannot lie. God cannot lie. So work the word, guys. Work the word.
Work the word. Work the word. Well, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for sharing your story. I want to thank you for really taking time also to just even be self-aware to figure out what that process is, so you could share with other people so that they don't have to live a life full of bondage and being hindered from being liberated, really. Liberated and walking in freedom. And I could just attest before we go that I remember some years ago, if I would ask you maybe to do something, girl, I don't do that. You know, I don't do that. I can't do that. I just, you know, I don't work well in that space. Now it's like, Tawana, are you going to do this? Yep. Tell me when. Tomorrow. So there is definitely a liberation, and that is what God has called all people to be able to achieve. And I'm just excited about what he has called even us women as we begin to dive deeper into developing ourselves and becoming the person that he's called us to be. So thank you so much for sharing of your story. And what'd you say?
I said thank you.
So guys, this is one segment of our series that we're doing this month about self-development and self-improvement. And today we were talking about insecurities. And so if you're looking for some more information or some more resources, a book of affirmations, I've written a book of affirmations called 31 Days of Encouragement for Her Soul. And it basically does the same thing. I regurgitate or I tell you or encourage you about the things that I see that, you know, really are principles from out of God's word. And then you declare and decree those things over your life. And so you're speaking it and walking it and believing it as you are going through your day. And so until next time, guys, we will talk to you later.
All right. Take care, guys. Peace.
Did you know that I did my first affirmation devotional? Yeah, it's entitled Encourage Her, 31 Days of Encouragement for Her Soul. Guys, I am so excited about this devotional because y'all know as women, even the strongest of us, we need encouragement on a daily basis. Your girl needs to be encouraged. And so this is my way of encouraging you one sister to another. But not only, what I really like about this devotional is not only are there words of encouragement for me, there is a daily declaration or affirmation that you speak over yourself. And so that is even more powerful, right? Because what we really want to do is to be able to believe those things and speak those things over our own lives. And so I know that there is so much that you have been called and created to do, and I just wanted to be a part of the encouragement process. If you are interested in downloading this digital copy, it's only $4.99. There will be a link in the show notes, or you can swing over to my website, which is www.tishatalks.org, and look for the icon at the top that says 31 Days Affirmation. Okay, guys, I'll talk to you later. Ladies, did you enjoy that episode or what? Did this episode speak to you in some kind of way? I would absolutely love to hear about it. Y'all know it does my heart good when you subscribe and you share this podcast with someone else that you know can absolutely benefit from it. Y'all, we are out here connecting, walking in our purpose, and encouraging each other along the way. I love meeting with you every week, and I'd love to stay further connected. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Tisha_talks and to visit my website, www.tishatalks.org. You'll find the podcast, you'll find other videos, and you'll find other courses and classes and workshops, conferences, the list goes on and on to the things that we are currently doing so that we can further connect beyond this weekly podcast. So ladies, without further ado, I want you guys to walk fully in everything that you've been called to, align your passion with your purpose, and go out there and get everything that has your name on it. Talk to you later.